This is Transformation Church Podcast. Here at TC, we represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Welcome to church. We are so glad that you're here. No matter where you're watching from, I'm believing today that you are here on purpose. You're here for a reason. And I'm believing that God wants to speak to you today like he never has before. Listen, no matter where you're joining from, I just want to take a moment and welcome you. My name is Charles. I get to serve as one of the pastors here. And on behalf of our pastors, Pastors Michael and Natalie Todd, our entire team, we just want to say welcome today. We are so glad that you're here. We don't take it lightly that you would take time out of your Sunday morning to spend it with us. And I'm believing that today God is going to speak to you. And here's what I know. Regardless of this, first thing I need to say is I miss everybody. Like, I really do. Like, right now we are in the arena. I can hear my voice echoing because you're not here. That's why. But what I know is that just because the doors are closed does not mean the church has been stopped. Come on, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what comes our way, the church is still strong because the church is not a building. The church is not confined to four walls, but you are the church. And so as long as there's breath in your lungs, as long as you're still alive, as long as we are still breathing, the church is still alive. And I just came to remind somebody who felt like the presence of God is confined to this room. It's in your room right now. It's in your home with your children, with your family, in the middle of the stuff you're going through. Come on. God's anointing and his favor is there. So I just need somebody in the chat to type amen, to type come on. I can feel it. Come on, we are stirring up the atmosphere. Come on, what the enemy meant for evil, God is turning for good. And I'm believing that today, regardless of what you're going through, the Spirit of God is coming to bring hope. He's coming to bring restoration, and he is right there with you. Listen, today is going to be a great day. It's a beautiful day to be in church, a part of church. And here's what I need you to do. I need you to participate. Some of y'all, you act like we can see you. We got technology where we can see you. You just be sitting there and be like, that's so good. No, I need all the energy you got. So I need you to stand up. I need you to yell. The eight people that are in here with me, all my homies, I need y'all's help today. Hey, listen, before we jump into the word today, I'm really excited because our pastors are rested. And I'm telling you, next week we start a brand new series, and it is going to be so, so powerful. Pastor Michael, he shared with me just the direction of how we're going to finish strong this year and what God has given to him, and I am so excited and just anticipating what God's going to do through the rest of this year. So I need you to get ready. Some of y'all been asleep during fun month in August. I see you. It's okay. We can see when you're not here, but that's okay. God still loves you. But listen, next week we're back with a brand new sermon series. It's going to be amazing, so make sure you're getting ready for that. And then tomorrow, everybody say tomorrow. Tomorrow we start 7 days of prayer and fasting. Now listen, some of y'all are like, what are you talking about? Listen, we do this every single year during this time as we're going to finish this year strong. Come on, somebody say finish strong. Listen, we're going to finish this year strong, and we're not going to do it in our own power. We're not going to do it in our own ability. We're not going to do it by just willing ourselves. But what we're doing is we're taking time to focus in on God, to silence all the other voices, to silence the distractions, and we're going to hear clearly from God. And so some of you, maybe this is your first time. You've never participated in something like this. What we're doing is we're pushing up. Fasting, it literally means to cover the mouth. So fasting, I got a little pet peeve, and Pastor Brenda, this is just me and you are locked in on this. Some people be like, I'm fasting, you know, from watching TV. That's great. That is great. But that's the word fast means to not eat food. So anyways, but listen, I want to encourage you, regardless of that, I just want to encourage you to really ask God, hey God, what would you ask me to give up so I can hear from you? What would you ask me to push away? What would you ask me to cover up so I can hear from you? More than ever before, we need to hear from the voice of God. We don't need opinion. We don't need good ideas. We don't need good concepts, but we need the wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And so I want to invite you to join us. Start tomorrow. If you need resources, you can go to our app, our website. We've got some things there to help you in this journey. But listen, today, I need you to get ready because I got a word. It's going to be powerful. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 17:5. Jeremiah 17:5 is where we're going to be. If you got a real Bible at home and you open it up, you automatically get more points in heaven. God told me that this morning while I was in prayer, so just wanted to let you know that. I'm joking, it's okay. Jeremiah 17:5, this is what the amazing word of God says. It says, this is what the Lord says. Now, this scripture right here is strong. Be ready. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert. Now, God, he be kind of disrespectful with the word of God sometimes. Not only you're a shrub, so you're a shrub, you're a small plant, but you a stunted small plant and you're in the desert. So God bless you. With no hope for the future, they live in barren wilderness in uninhabited salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees. I thought about calling this sermon Such Trees. I almost did it. I did do. Such trees are not bothered. That was my second sermon title. I'm not bothered by it. Come on. Anything can happen, but I'm not bothered by it. The government can go down, but I'm not bothered by it. You can talk about me, but I'm not bothered by it. That's not the title, though. Such trees are not bothered by the heat, by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Such trees, they're not bothered. They're not bothered by the heat. They're not bothered by a pandemic. They're not bothered by who's in office. They're not bothered by, come on, they're not worried about long months of drought. Their leaves stay green. Come on, their spirits stay joyful. Their attitude stays good. Come on, their hope stays alive. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. That is some good Bible. We could shut the show down right now if we wanted to, but I believe that God wants to speak to us. I'm going to ask you to join us in prayer wherever you are right now. Lord God, we come to you and we thank you that your presence is here. Lord, and wherever here is for every person under the sound of my voice, Lord, in their homes, Lord God, in the middle of a tough situation, Lord Jesus, in the middle of things that we may not have seen coming, Lord God, I thank you that your presence, your anointing, your glory is resting here. Lord, I thank you that today, Lord Jesus, we would hear directly from you. We don't need just another talk. We don't need just good points, Lord God, but we need a revelation from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you would speak through me to your people. I thank you, God, that you are in control. Have your way. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Hey, so I always start my sermons off with a story. It's just how I roll. I stole it from a pastor when I was 19 and learned how to write sermons, and he started his sermon off with a story. So now I start my sermon off with a story. So it's really not that complicated. But in high school, I ran track my junior year of high school. I did triple jump, long jump, and then I ran the 4x1. Now, I want to talk to you about this trifling race called the 4x1. The 4x1, what it is, there's four people, and this is where you see them passing the baton. Like they're 4x1 means four people running 100 meters each. So the track is 400 meters if you don't know that. So the straightaway is 100, the turn's 100, you get it. So I would normally run the 4x1, and I was decent. They put me on the third leg. I don't know where you put the bad people. Like, that may be where you put the bad people, because they're like, surely to good. I definitely wasn't the anchor, that's for sure, because I just didn't have it in me. But I was the 4x1, so I ran the 4x1 at our track meet, and I did decent. I honestly don't think we won, but I felt great about my part, which shows you how immature I was, because I was just worried about how I did. I won my part. That's all that mattered. Anyways, but the coach, he said, hey, Charles, the guy who normally runs the 4x2 is out, so we need you to jump in. And I thought, of course you need me to jump in. I'm about to kill this thing. So I get in. The 4x2 is four people running 200 meters each. So there's the first 100 and then either a turn or a straightaway of the second 100. So here's what happened. We start off strong, and I knew how to run a 4x1. I could run 100 meters, and I was pretty cold with it, too. So I took off, and I'm just dusting. I'm the third leg. I'm dusting my dude. I'm on the turn, and boy, I'm telling you, I'm like at a 45-degree angle. Like, I'm so into that turn. I'm just like, pow, pow, pow. I got my arms locked in. I'm swinging the baton, and in my head, I'm like, y'all are trash. I'm dusting every one of y'all. I don't even run this race like that. Like, y'all must be scrubs, or I'm that good. It was a combination of both, but I'm in the turn, and then I start kind of leveling out for the last 100 meters. And guys, when I tell you that last straightaway, it was like a bear came and grabbed both of my legs and was just whole, like literally my feet started getting all heavy and I'm like slowly, and then it looks like that my, I think I was on a treadmill on my lane because I started slowing down and literally all other six people started coming up closer to me and I was like, what is happening? Like, and as I kept going, literally by the end of it, I started off at first, I was in sixth place when I handed my baton to the person. And I just felt so ashamed. I felt embarrassed. I felt like, what in the world happened? But what I realized is my legs could only take me as far as my heart could carry me. That's called a transition if you've never seen one. What I realized is that the external strength that I had, the strength of my legs, was actually connected to the internal source that had been conditioned, that had been training. And the issue was I was running a race that I hadn't conditioned for. I was doing something that I wasn't prepared for. And I realized, and today I came to encourage somebody and really to help you with a story that applies to running races, but it really applies to your life, that your external strength is always connected to your internal source. Always. And many times what happens, you know, when Pastor Michael first said stronger, I was like, bet. Come on, we're all getting ripped this year. Like, we're all going to look like I don't know what. Like, I was just excited about it. And what I realized is 2020 is not as much about your external or your external strength as it is about testing your internal source. 2020 didn't come to test your strength. It came to check your source. It did not come to test how strong you were on the outside. It came to check what are you connected to. And this year has came to honestly expose a lot of our sources. This year has come to test a lot of what we really put our hope in, who we really trust, who we really decide that is going to be the end-all, be-all in our life. And what happens is at the beginning of the year, we were all chilling, it was good, and then stuff started going wrong. And what we realized is maybe we don't have the source that we thought we had. Maybe our roots aren't as deep as we thought they were. Maybe everything isn't as perfect in our marriage as we thought it was. Maybe we don't have the strength that we thought we did. And what I realized is for us, we have to understand that this year did not come to challenge your strength, but it's really challenging your source. And if you don't realize that, you'll make corrections on the outside that don't change anything on the inside. You'll start doing things on the outside to try to make up for something that really the issue is deep down. And until you, as long as you keep covering it up, as long as you keep acting like everything's okay, what God is doing is he came this year and said, I want to do something on the inside because what's inside will always affect what's on the outside. And God this year, he wants to do something deep in your life. That we're going to finish strong this year because God's going to do a work on the inside that not everybody can see. You can't post your character on Instagram. Come on, you can't post that you got delivered from anxiety on Instagram. But what God's going to do this year is he's going to heal you on the inside, and what happens on the outside, it's going to be totally different. What if God is using this year just to condition you? What if God loves you so much that he said, you know what, there's a race that I have for you to run in 2021, but before I put you in it, I'm going to prepare you for it. See, many times we want God to put us in something that we've never been prepared for. But what if this year God is using it to prepare you for what he's got in front of you? You see, what I realized is that your season always exposes your source. Your season always exposes your source. Let's talk about a maple tree and a pine tree. These two trees are built different. One, when the winter comes, the season exposes its source. So what does it do? It starts losing its leaves. It starts having to bring all its energy to the center because there's not enough source to go around for everybody. There's not enough to go out to the end of everything that it touches or its fruit or its leaves. But there's a different kind of tree. A pine tree, regardless of what season comes, its source is always the same. Regardless if winter comes, it's green. If summer comes, the tree's green. If fall comes, it's green. If spring comes, it's green. What I'm telling you is God wants to be your source so that in every season you can be green. Come on, when the economy's good, you're green. When the economy's bad, you're green. Come on, whoever's in office, you're still green and you're good because you have a different source. I think this year has really challenged what our source is. And what you need to understand is some of you, you have forgotten. And there have been times in my own life where I've forgotten. The difference between these two trees or what exposes their source is one is just built different. Like what, they're the same, they can go through the exact same thing. They can be in the exact same situation. They can be in the exact same cold weather. They can be in the exact same season, but one responds differently because it's been built different. I came to remind somebody, you're built different. You're not built like everybody else. Come on, there's something different on the inside of you. And even though the enemy has challenged you, even though he's came against your thoughts and your mind, you need to remind yourself. Type it in the chat. Write it on a sticky note. I'm built different. Come on, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me. Come on, he has plans for me. He has a hope and a future, not to harm me, but to prosper me. You are built different. And in this season, I believe that what's happening is the season is exposing who our source is exposing what we put our trust in. That scripture is so powerful. It says, and I want to help you with the scripture because sometimes in church we hear the Bible, and because we don't have full understanding, we just try to edit out parts of it that don't make sense to us instead of asking the God who wrote it to reveal it to us. So when you read your Bible, if you don't understand it, don't skip over it. That's like when you get an instruction from a friend or from a teacher. I would do that in school. Maybe that's why we do it with the Bible. I would do that in school. If I didn't understand an instruction, I was too prideful to act like I didn't know what she was talking about. So she'd be like, if you turn your pages, we're going to study. And she says some word I had no idea, and I'd be like, oh great, we're going to be studying that today. I'd love to. Yeah, we're just going to do that. And what happens is what you don't realize is the knowledge of school every year, it builds upon the knowledge that you were supposed to learn the year before. So what happens is when you don't ask for understanding in sixth grade, you'll end up in 12th grade confused. Hello somebody, that was me. And in the same way, when you don't ask understanding of God's word in 2020, you'll end up in 2025 confused, because God, I don't know where that is from. Some of you need to start getting your roots in the word of God and stop just thinking, well, I'll just read the scriptures that I understand or that make me feel good. But maybe God wants to give you a deeper revelation. Maybe there's some roots that he wants to grow down in his word to where anything can happen. The wind can come. Come on, the wind can blow, but you are rooted in God. The scripture says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans. I want to help you with this scripture because sometimes we see anywhere where the Bible says cursed, we think of like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and we're like, ah, and like what a curse. Why would God? Here's the thing. The natural state of our world is fallen. So because in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, sin entered the world, hurt entered the world, pain entered the world. So that means the world as our natural state is in a bad bend. It has a bend towards doing evil. It has a bend towards bad things. But what happens is when you surrender to God, what a curse is saying, God saying, hey, if you can't do it my way, if you won't acknowledge me, I can't step in and change how this world would naturally be set up. So what happens is when the scripture says cursed, what it really is you're just left to your own devices. You're in the state that you were born into. You're in the natural pain that you experience in this earth, the natural loss. And the scripture goes on to say, you have no hope for the future. That's what happens when you don't let God in, when you don't acknowledge him. It says, cursed if you're simply trusting mere humans. What it's saying is hey, it's going to be a bad deal if you're looking to other people to fulfill something that God can only fix. It's going to be a bad deal if you're looking to the government to give you peace or not. It's going to be a bad deal if you're waiting on a pandemic to end to decide if you're really going to give yourself fully to the plan of God. Come on. It's going to be a bad deal if you're putting your trust in humans. But it says you're blessed when you, this is what got me. It says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. So many times we downplay the part that we have to play in what we've decided is our hope and confidence. It says, who have made the Lord. That means you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision that regardless of what happens, I'm making the Lord my hope and my confidence. Now, I want to keep moving on in this. You know, as we think about the source and really what God does, here's what's happened to me so many different times. There have been moments even throughout this year where I've been praying to God or talking to God, and I've thought, God, you really are my source. You know, like, you know, you just, I grew up in church, and so I know all the, like, prayers that get you, like, the bonus points. You know what I'm saying? Like, the prayers, like, God, just, I surrender to you. I trust you. Have your way. I'm putting my life in your hands. Like, all the Sunday school prayers that I know, I just start throwing them out. They just come up. But literally, I had this thought where God, I was saying, God, you're my source, and I felt like God said, you're saying I'm your source, but I can see your fruit. Like, and many of us, we say, God, you're my source, but we see the fruit. And many times, it's so funny that we'll stand up and say, God is my source, but our fruit looks nothing like what the source should say. Many times we'll say, God is my source, but we're angry and we're worried and we're confused. Come on, some of you, if you got up, If you walked up to a tree, and let's just say this is a random, I'm just making this up as I go. You go up to this tree, and it says it's supposed to be an apple tree, but there's oranges on the end of the tree. You would walk up to it and be like, this is an apple tree. I swear, somebody's telling you, this is an apple tree. I swear, it's an apple tree. That's an apple tree. I swear, that is an apple tree. But you're like, I can't separate what I see from what you're saying. And many times what God does, he says, I hear what you're saying, but I also see what you're doing. I hear when you pray that you say, I'm your source and you're trusting me and all your hope is in me. But I also see that really when it gets down to it, your peace does not come from me. Your peace comes from circumstances that you create and that you control. And that you, let me tell you about something. God gave me this idea of pieced together peace. Let me help you. Pieced together peace. P-I-E-C-E-D. Pieced. I got really insecure as I went to the end of that word. Pieced together peace. Many of us, the scripture talks about that God will give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Many times, instead of going to God, who is our source, to get this peace, we piece together our own peace. So what happens is when we say, man, I'm in a really tough situation, or this bad thing has happened, or maybe, let's find this. Many of us, maybe we're in a season where it's tough, or maybe the government is doing things that we don't agree with, or whatever's happening. Instead of going to God for peace, we start creating scenarios. Well, I read my Bible, and I did this, and I tithe, and I've been a good person, and I prayed the right prayer. So now, and then also, I've been doing those things right, and I've said, and we start piecing together these stories that make us feel good, that make us feel like, oh, okay, now I have peace. Do you have peace, or did you just piece together a story that made you feel better about your situation? God is saying, I want to give you the true, real, and living peace that you desire. I want to be your source. I want to be the one that you can have something. It says a peace that surpasses your ability to understand. That means you can have a peace that doesn't need to understand. That means that you can have a peace that doesn't need to know the outcome, that doesn't need to know what's going to happen, or when are we going to be back in church, or when is this going to stop, or when is when is my finances going to get to the right spot. You can have a peace that surpasses your ability to understand. And what I've realized is many of us, when it comes to our source, many of our source is either on the surface or it's situational. Our source of peace, our source of joy, our source of hope, it's really not God, it's a situation. It's as long as this thing is going good, as long as my business is going good, then I have peace from God. Do you have peace from God, though? Because it's dependent on the situation, and that situation changes, where is your peace? If your joy comes from how people think about you and how much they love you and how they care about you and what they say about you and how many likes you get on Instagram, that's not the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's a peace that is put in mere humans. That's a peace that can be controlled by outward sources. But what's happening is God is saying, what if I brought this year to bring you a peace that's on the inside? What if I brought you this year to bring you something that was beyond an outward circumstance but was something on the inside of your life? Your fruit always exposes your roots. You can't say, man, I'm rooted in God and my life is in him. But what happens is when we look at the fruit of our lives, we have to say, God, this is showing a different story. Like this is not the same thing. Now, some of you are saying, Charles, what are you talking about? What do you mean by that? Well, in Galatians 5:22, it says this: but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. I was thinking about this year and really just how this year has gone. You know, this series, we've titled it Finish Strong. And in this, I've realized, you know, when I think about this year and even different things that I've experienced in my life, that desire to finish strong was almost similar to or at the same rate, there was a desire for me to finish first. Like, let's talk about this. Even in that race that I ran in high school, I wasn't worried about finishing strong. I really wanted to finish first. And many times, the desire to finish first inhibits our ability to finish strong. When I started off that race, I wasn't thinking about how I was going to finish strong. I was thinking about how I was going to finish first. So all my energy, all my effort, everything that I had, I put it into that first 100 meters because I wasn't thinking about how I was going to finish strong. And what I realized is the temptation to finish first will inhibit your ability to finish strong. The ability that you have to finish strong, to finish well, because many times this is how it starts. We started off the year with all our New Year's resolutions. We started off the relationship with being intentional, all these different things. But again, our ability to say, I want to finish first, that I want to do this well in the beginning, we're not thinking about the end. And that's why in this series we're saying, hey, we made a decision that we're going to finish strong. And I've realized that really for me, it goes beyond finishing strong. And I felt like I was talking to God. I was like, okay, the sermon, we're going to finish strong. We're going to finish strong. We're going to finish strong. And as I went through it, I was like, okay, then there's this temptation to finish first. And then I realized God said, I want you to finish strong, but also there's something deeper. The temptation is you want to finish first. But I found that many times God's desire is that we would finish with fruit. That's the title of my sermon today. Finish with fruit. What if this year was not so you could finish first? Like every other year, the reason it feels good is probably because there's areas of your life that you felt like you finished first in. I finished first in my business. My business was successful. It was better than all businesses. It was better than what we even planned for on the fiscal calendar. It went beyond everything. In school, I finished first. I graduated this way. I went this way. In relationships, I finished first. But what if God said, hey, this year you may not finish first, but you might finish with fruit? What if this year, what if we could shift our perspective that God, you know what? I'm not worried about finishing first. I'm not worried about it looking good. But God, would you produce a fruit in my life? God, I want to finish with more love in my life. I want to finish with more joy, with more peace, with more patience. What if this year came so that you could finish with fruit? I just made a decision this year that, you know what? If I'm going to finish strong, I want to finish with the fruit of God in my life. I want to finish loving my wife well. I want to finish serving people more. I want to finish with more joy, with more grace in my life. And what I've realized is when it comes to fruit, fruit is a focus, not a feeling. Fruit is a focus, not a feeling. What I've realized is these things that Scripture talks about, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and faithfulness, these aren't feelings. And I've realized that this year, God used the toughness of the year, the changing of the year, all of these different things. And I realized, what if God is using this year to push past what we feel and ask, what are you focusing on? What if he's pushing past the emotional surface level sources that we have? What if he's pushing past your ability to just push past hard things and feel excited or feel happier? What if he's saying, hey, I want to push past something and I want to ask, what are you focusing on? I realize that the fruit that is in our life truly comes from what we're focusing on. It comes from who our source is. And today, really, the goal of this sermon today is to ask you, who is your source? What is your source? Where have you placed your hope? Where do you get your peace from? What is your life rooted in? Because this year has really been something that it's gone different than how any of us planned. It's gone different than how we thought. It's gone different than maybe how we desired. But what I'm realizing is in the middle of all of this frustration, in the middle of plans changing, in the middle of disappointment, God is producing fruit. And I just want to ask today, what would it look like if we made a decision? What would it look like if we said, God, you know what? I'm going to submit to this process because I know that you're building fruit in my life. I know that you're building something that's deeper, that's stronger, that's more than a surface level thing. You know, we had some time off in August because of our new baby girl got here, Luna Rose. She's the bomb. Shout out to my shawty. This is the first sermon I think she's heard me preach. Wow, that's amazing. Is that true? I don't know. Is that true, babe? Oh, first sermon to my daughter. She says it's good. Forget what y'all say. But we had some time off in August, and during that time, I was like, all right, God, during this time, I'm going to spend time with the family, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to seek you. And I had this sense that, like, man, I know God wants to do something in my heart and in my life. And it was almost like I had this sense of, like, there's going to be this new level. Like, when I come back to work, I'm going to be so anointed. When I walk in the offices, people are just going to fall out. Like, this is what I felt. And, like, part of it was, like, me trying to discern what God was actually saying. But I had this sense of, like, God, you want to do something new. Like, there's something new that you want to do in my heart. There's a new level of focus. There's a new level of discernment. All these different things. And so I was journaling, and I was thinking about it. And no lie, I get back to the office after being gone for 4 weeks with the baby and at home, and I come back, and the first meeting I go to lead, I could not talk. I was, like, tripping over my words. I got home from work. I told Abby, I was like, God has lifted his hand off my life. Like, I don't have it anymore. I can't preach. I can't talk. She was like, stop. And I was so confused because I had this expectation that, God, you were going to do this thing, and it was going to feel like this, and it was going to be like this, and I was going to be able to speak easier, and I was going to have more wisdom and all these different things. And I was literally driving in my car, like, frustrated with God. Like, God, you said that there was going to be a new level and I was going to be able to do all this stuff. And I realized, and God said something, it was literally in the still small voice that scripture talks about. He said, I did it, but you're looking in the wrong place. He said, Charles, I did it, but it's not a new level, it's deeper. He said, I did it, but it's deeper. And many times, when we look for the fruit of God's anointing on our life, we look for the higher thing. We look for the new thing. We look for the thing that feels above, that is this other thing. But I realize the power of God is not only in the things that are higher, but it's also in the things that are deeper. It's when God gives you something that is so secure, that is so rooted in him, that no matter what comes on the outside, no matter what comes, that you are rooted in Christ. And I realized that God was saying, hey, like, when you're looking for that thing that I really did say that was going to happen, it's something deeper. And what happens is what I realized is God, what he does, I realized if he put something, let's think about it as like a shelf or I literally am thinking this through, but literally I realized in my spirit that God was saying, hey, when I do something deeper, that means there's things that you're going to have to work through and get past and go around and that you're going to be forced to deal with to get to what I've done. So what he was saying was, is when I put this thing deeper in your life and in who you are, if I just put it on the outside, you don't have to deal with all the internal issues. You don't have to deal with the things that are there that are keeping you. But I did that because I would force you to have to deal with the things that weren't like me so you could find the thing that is truly rooted in who I am. Today, I want to kind of close out with this thought that I really believe that God wants to do something deeper in your life. I really believe that this year was not random. It was not an accident. It wasn't something that just happened, but it was something that God has done deeper for a reason. And I want to close out with this scripture. It's in Hebrews 12. And production, if you're looking for the scripture, you don't have it because I didn't give it to you. This is what it says. It says, as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means that you are illegitimate and not his children. Since we respect our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline now? I'm going to skip down to verse 11. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. 2020 may not be enjoyable while it's happening. The tension in the relationship may not be enjoyable while it's happening. The pressure may not be enjoyable while it's happening. In fact, the scripture says, let me just tell you, it's painful. God's scripture is so good because he says, hey, there's a discipline, and I'm not going to chalk it up that it's going to be easy. He says, no discipline and enjoyable while it's happening. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. I came to remind you today that what you're going through right now, the pressure, thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of you right now, you're looking at the current state of your life, and then you're also looking at the picture of where you thought you would be right now. And as you're looking at this, it's creating this frustration towards God. It's creating all these things. But really what God is saying, hey, what I'm doing right now, you may not have the perspective to see it. You may not have the perspective to understand why it's happening. But what happens is if you would allow me to give you a new perspective, if you would allow me to show you that, hey, this is something I'm doing in you and I'm developing in you, and it may not be enjoyable right now, but what I'm doing is I'm producing a peaceful harvest. I'm producing a peaceful harvest in your life. Today, I want to take a moment, and I just want to take a moment to pray over you. I want to take a moment that God would truly show us who our source is, where we get our peace, where we get our joy, where we get our hope. And I'm believing that today that we're going to realize that what God is doing, it's not just something on the surface. Our source will no longer be in mere humans. Our peace will no longer be from outward sources, but God is going to develop a fruit in us. He's going to develop something so deep in our hearts that we will be able to go through every season. And that is my prayer, that as we go to the end of this year, that as we finish strong in this year, that we would realize that the fruit of our life is because our roots are in Christ. That the fruit of being able to finish strong, the fruits of not only being able to finish strong, but to finish with fruit, are because we have decided that God is our source. I want to take a moment right now and just pray over you. To pray that we would have the perspective to understand that, God, you know what, I may not understand why you're doing it this way or why plans have changed, but God, I trust that you're developing a fruit in me. I trust, Lord God, that you are developing something in me that the wind and the waves can't change. You're developing something in me that the government can't change, that education can't change. You're developing something in me so strong. You're developing something in me, Lord, that is beyond my circumstance, and it's deep in my life. Right now, Holy Spirit, we invite you in. Holy Spirit, we ask right now that you would expose to us the places where our lives have not been rooted in you. The places where our source has really not been, God, our source hasn't been really in you, Lord God. Our source has been other people. Our source has been ourselves. Our source has been other things. And Lord God, I just thank you right now that you are showing us, Lord Jesus, you are exposing the things that are not like you. You are exposing where our roots, Lord God, have not been in God, Lord Jesus. But I thank you right now. We are making a decision to put our trust in you. We're making a decision, Lord God, to put our hope in you, Lord God. We're making a decision, Lord God, to put everything, Lord God. We're putting our hope and our lives in you, Lord Jesus. Right now, Lord Jesus, I thank you for perspective. Lord, I thank you that you are allowing us to see, Lord Jesus, that even though it may not be enjoyable for this time, Lord God, but you are developing something in us that is so much deeper. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now for every person who's listening, that you would give them perspective on what they're going through, Lord God. You would give them perspective for the pain, Lord God, perspective for the frustration, and they will be able to see your grace, your anointing, your peace in their lives. As we continue to pray, I want to ask you just to focus in for a moment and see where you are in your relationship with God. Maybe some of you right now, if you're honest with yourselves, the reason that you're not able to have peace, the reason that you're so shaken by this year is because you've realized that your source, it hasn't been God. Your source has been something else. Your source has been your job. Your source has been your spouse. Your source has been other people's perspective of you. Your source has been what other people think about you. But today you can make a decision to say, you know what? I'm putting my life in Christ. I'm making him my hope and confidence. And there are some of you right now that the reason you're watching today, the reason that you're here is not just to hear a sermon or a message or to hear some worship, but it's surrendering your life to Jesus. I'm believing today that some of you, you've ran out of all other options. You've tried everything else. You've tried putting your hope in everything else. You've put your hope in humans. You've put your hope in so many different things. But today you can put your hope in Jesus and it'll change your life forever. If you're listening right now and you say, you know what, I want to make that decision. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to surrender to Him. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. And as I pray this prayer, I'm believing that something miraculous is going to happen in your life. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. I'm believing today that if you would surrender your life to Him, everything you've been looking for, the things that you've been trying to go to other things to find, God can give it to you in this moment. Right where you are, if you want to accept Jesus into your life, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Dear Jesus, I admit I've made mistakes. I pray that you would save me, that you would change me, that you would make me new. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now, go and live a transformed life.